Thank you, thank you. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihaji. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihati. Gopi Jana Vallabha Piri Varada Ji. Gopi Jana Vallabha Piri Varada Ji. Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Dandana. Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Dandana. Jamuna Tira Banasadhi. Jamuna Tira Banasadhi. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari. Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada Chila, Prabhupada. Jaya Gaura Nithai, Jaya Gaura Nithai, Gaura Nithai, Jaya Gaura Nithai. Jaya Gaura Nithai, Jaya Gaura Nithai, Gaura Nithai, Jaya Gaura Nithai. Gaura Prem Nandi Hari Hari Bo. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So Hare Krishna. Please join me. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Simate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitinamine. Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nirvesesa Sanyavari Paskatyare Satarine Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Oh, Hare Krishna, thank you so much. This smells like spring. I am the flower-bearing spring, says Krishna. And I think he must have had these little Maybells, we call them in Germany, in mind. Before I start with my seminar or series of lectures, I would like to introduce them to you a little bit. In devotional service, we have to make sure that as we progress, we do not look for totally new things which we have never heard, but what we have to look for is for deeper levels of the same five processes which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given to us. Let me give you an example. A beginner will definitely chant the holy name. Now, if a devotee goes through his life and chants always on the beginner level, he will lack the taste and the experience which Krishna consciousness promises to give. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur says, 2 plus 2 is 4 on a beginner level, maybe on a person's level who just enters school, but it is also true on the level of someone who performs very high algorithmical equations. However, the result of someone who can apply these truths on a higher level is that he, for instance, will write a computer program which saves the world when he knows how to do this on a higher level. If he only has the beginner mathematics knowledge, he will never be able to write a computer program. So, seva, or service, my dear devotees, is true on the beginner's level, like the level of Steve Jobs, who was so poor that he went every Sunday to the Hare Krishna temple in Boston, and as a recompensation, he washed the dishes. He did service. But you have to find out how this, what a beginner in bhakti can do, is now true on your level. And also how you will go to the next level, to the next challenge, so to say, on your path back home, back to Godhead, in this the implementation or application of the seva ideology. So we have designed our program, the Buckland membership retreat this year, in a way that we concentrate with a smaller group, a group of those who are committed already to Pandava Sena, so that we help them to find where they can now be on the level of service. And my role will be, like each year, to supply the Krishna conscious foundations for the more practical oriented workshops which you can visit throughout the day. So let me start with a concluding statement of Lord Krishna on the idea of service, where he brings out a concept which was very and thrilling or enchanting for me personally. You may know that the 11th canto is Bhujan Prabhu called it a backward glance on the whole Bhagavatam, on the teachings. I'm doing now a backward glance. We find out that the backward glance is very necessary. The lion will walk, what was it, 2 steps? And then he will stop and he will look at the territory which is covered and find out, is it safe, is it nicely covered, or do I have to turn around and do some lion activities in the back again. So a backward glance is when you secure your territory, what have you learned. And Lord Krishna tells here, at the very end of his instruction to his beloved cousin, who is this? Uddhava, thank you. The essence of his of the teachings of the Bhagavatam. And he then surprisingly says, this process, referring to bhakti, is the supreme intelligence of the intelligent. This bhakti is the cleverness of the most clever, for by following it, one can in this very life make use of the temporary and unreal to achieve me, the eternal reality. So why is this the most intelligent, the most clever thing you can do? Yes, because you can take something which is not so useful, the temporary, to attain something which is a very, very, very extraordinary. It's almost like taking a small, what is the smallest currency in here in Great Britain? One pence. If you take 1 pence, you invest it, and after a relatively short time, you get 1 or 2 million pounds. Then you are intelligent. You are clever. So what this means in a very interesting language is expressed by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. He says, the inhabitants of Bharatabhumi, that's you, you live in Bharatabhumi, the inhabitants of Bharatabhumi who are mortal, and sorry, but this is the text, and born in low families, can offer me their bodies. Again, I'm a little sorry, fasten your seatbelts. The inhabitants of Bharatabhumi can offer me their body, which are actually not worth a penny, for they are often deformed, and will eventually be afflicted with old age and disease. They can offer this to me, but through their offering, they can attain me, the ocean of sweetness. I accept their offerings, although I'm supposed to be the cleverest, and give myself with joy to the devotees, along with my priceless ornaments, bracelets, and my crown. My dear devotees, Krishna's crown, you can't pay it with millions of pounds. It's really valuable. So Krishna gives himself, along with everything he has, to the devotee who offers their, bodies which are not very valuable. So aren't these inhabitants of Bharata Bhumi the most intelligent and skillful? So you might ask yourself, okay, that's a deal. Something useless? No, not so useful. You might disagree, but Maharaj, my body is not useless. It looks really beautiful. I have sideburns and various cosmetics are also there. Natural products. But this is now spiritual language, my dear devotees, where we understand the body has an X on it. It's marked for destruction, like the trees near Goloka Dham. When they have an X on it, pang, in one or two months they will be cut by the woodcutter. So you all have an X on your forehead. Death will come and fell you. That's why you're chuta, or fallible, in the language of Sanskrit. So it can be used, however, and you can obtain the Lord. Now, what does it mean to give one's body to the Lord? This is the question. It means to engage the ear and other organs in service. If the tongue is engaged in the devotional service of chanting, if the ears are engaged in the devotional service of hearing, if the hands are engaged in service, then one is giving one's body to the Lord. So please let us pause for a moment. By engaging our body and the organs of the body, including the mind, that is not mentioned here, but it will be mentioned later, in service, Krishna is willing to give himself to such devotees. This is the beauty of bhakti. This is the unique proposal of our sampradaya. This is the unique proposal of Pandava Sena, which is a devotee congregation or devotee organization. Engage this body and this this mind in the service of Krishna, and you will have an extraordinary miracle surprise. I would like to now give a historical event of this. It is one of my favorite devotional examples. It deals with the great devotee Vallabha, who one day sat with his servant Damala at the banks of the Yamuna. It was near the town of Gokul, and it was a nice afternoon. There were other sadhus sitting next to the Yamuna, and they were singing the glories of Yamuna Devi. For instance, that Yamuna Devi is very dear to Krishna because she brings souls which are separate from Krishna back to Krishna by sipping her waters, by glancing at her, by being touched by the breezes, the cooling breezes from Yamuna. Those who are separate from her are again united. As the evening approached, some cowherd girls went home. They were filling the beautiful atmosphere with songs about the Lord, who also comes home at that time. While he walks, he swings back and forth like an elephant. When you walk behind an elephant, have you seen? The elephant will move left and right. You can get on top of it, and it will be almost like dancing twist. So the Lord has this elephant gait. He's very elegantly and very... he dances very, very beautifully. Everyone was very joyous. In old English language, we would say it was a gay day. Now we avoid this English. And everyone was so happy. However, Vallabha was sad. What was his sadness? Well, he had been called upon to be a teacher, a preacher, but he felt he could not do his job properly. How could he bring those who were separate from Krishna back to Krishna? I think all kinds of preachers will at times think, oh, am I doing my service properly? Am I actually helping people to become Krishna conscious and purified in their hearts? Am I doing my responsibilities to the full satisfaction? Damala, I said to him, Guru Maharaj, we have to go. It is becoming dark and cold, and there is also your dinner waiting. But Vallabha was so sad. He looked at the moon as it slowly rose in the eastern horizon. There were patches of clouds. There were the Chataka birds singing the songs of separation. And he did feel as miserable as these birds. He prayed to the Lord, my Lord, I will not stand up, I will not get up unless I have an answer, and I need it from you. How can those who are separated from you, since time immemorial, how can they actually go back to you? How can the dwarf ever hope to touch the moon? You are so far away. And we conditioned souls are so totally impure and polluted in our hearts and consciousness. My dear Lord, please give me a sign. Please give me an inspiration. Suddenly a flood of light bathed the shore of the Yamuna, and it began to sparkle, the camphor-like banks, and Lord Krishna appeared and asked, Vallabha, why exactly did you call me? At that time, it is said that Vallabha broke out in song. Madhuram Madhurebhyo. There's a beautiful song. Madhuram Madhurebhyo. Oh, I don't have the text. That's a problem. He saw the Lord with his crown, with his priceless ornaments, and more than anything, with his beautiful, beautiful dhoti. There was a peacock feather on the top of the Lord's top knot, and the Lord smiled at him, but he clearly wanted to know what was exactly on the mind. So he sang at that time, Vacha Adaram Madhuram Vadhanam Madhuram Nayanam Madhuram Hasitam Madhuram Hridayam Madhuram Gamanam Madhuram Madhura Dipate Akilam Madhuram. Everybody, Madhura Dipate Akilam Madhuram. Then he sang, Venur Madhuro Renur Madhura Panir Madhura Paro Madhura Nityam Madhuram Sakyam Madhuram Madhuradipate Akilam Madhuram. Everybody, Madhuradipate Akilam Gitam Madhuram Pitam Madhuram Uktam Madhuram Suktam Madhuram Rupam Madhuram Tilakam Madhuram Madhuradipate Akilam Madhuram Madhuradipate Akilam Madhuram. One more time. Madhuradipate Akilam Madhuram. It's a long song. It's a beautiful song. I heard it when Gogopal had chanted it. Was this his melody? We have chosen a separate melody today. It is an inspired piece of poetry, inspired by Vallabha's vision, who saw in his dark night, it was actually a moonlit night, the Lord who had come to answer a burning question. He sang, his lips are sweet. And overwhelmed, he looked on the face and said, his face is sweet. His eyes are sweet. His smile is sweet. His heart is sweet. And his gait is sweet. So don't think it's like a gross elephant who goes bang, 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 left and right. And no, it's very graceful. And he says, what is the use of my words? everything is sweet about the original Lord of Sweetness. And he goes through many sweet items, singing, his drinking, his eating, his tilak. Even you will be interested to hear about this, his act of deliverance, how he makes an arrangement for each one of us to come to him is sweet. And things like, which we don't consider very palatable, his stealing is sweet, his amorous play is sweet, his yawning is sweet. Our yawning smells like pizza, but his yawning is very sweet. And even, listen to this attentively, his chastisements are sweet. Because when a devotee feels he got the clap of the Lord, then it usually gives birth to a deeper insight and a reformed endeavor on his side to please the Lord. So, the Lord said, "You have this doubt. How will people come to me? Because people are so weak. But I tell you, I will choose those who choose me." That sounds simple, to make a choice. I'm a devotee. I choose service over sense gratification. Well, I choose Krishna, then Krishna chooses me. He opened the subject of how Krishna helps those who are making a conscious choice. But Vallabha wanted to get his doubt, his question really out, and he said, "You have asked me, my Lord, what is my question? Let me say, for a long time I have been concerned how to bring souls to you. Everyone in this world is so bound up by their conditioned nature that it seems they will never actually be able to overcome this and engage their lives, which was dedicated for sense gratification, for self-realization or your realization, my Lord." And then the Lord said something. He said, "Vallabha, listen. Whenever impure water joins the Ganga, it becomes pure." We know this, the Himalayan villages have an open sewage system and some of it goes to Mother Ganga, but it becomes Ganga water, and and we give it into the mouth of dying people because Ganga is very pure. Although it was some impure things were added to it, they become in contact pure. So if someone engages in my service, Lord Krishna says, they are turning towards me, and by their contact with me, I will give them the purity of heart and I will take them to me. And then the Lord said something which is extremely, extremely beautiful. He said, "You should give the people of this world a prayer." And we have this prayer in our tradition. You know, it's called the Buddha Shuti prayers. They are. And the Lord here spoke like this. They should say, "O Lord, I have been separated from you for thousands of births, and this has created within me endless sufferings and complications. My life is complicated, full of suffering because I've been separated from you. My true blissful spiritual nature has become concealed, covered. But now I dedicate to you, my Lord, the beloved of the gopis of Vrindavan. I dedicate my body to you, my senses, my life force, as well as my consciousness, my mind, my heart, my intelligence, and even the sense of self. I don't consider myself a Mayadas any longer. I consider myself now a Krishnadas. Yes. I dedicate to you my home, my spouse, children, and all my wealth, as well as anything else I have here and beyond. I offer you my very soul. O Krishna, I am yours. Now, it is said by Rupa Goswami, someone who says, O Krishna, I am yours, and offers his obeisances, Krishna accepts him. We will do a little bit later in the second part a little meditation on this. We will actually do this, my dear devotees. Believe it or not, you can run away in the pause and not return if you don't want to do it. No, I'm joking. Please come, it's very pleasant. And you can offer yourself increasingly. Maybe at the beginning you offer a little to Krishna. You offer a little time. Oh, I'm now doing seva in the Pandava Sena tent. That was yesterday, I believe, the subject. Jamashtami is there, and then we can offer seva there. Ooh, there's a lot of seva. It goes past midnight. You can offer your services in many ways, and I request you to revisit Naveen Krishna's excellent presentation last year about the ecosystem of Pandavasena, where we find a whole world of service opening ecologically before us. So you can offer it consciously, with the idea, I'm doing this for Krishna. I have no other wish in doing this than to please you. I don't want anything in return. It's selfless. It's not karma, Mishra Bhakti. I want to do this. Whatever little you can do, and it will become more in due course of time. This is the beauty of devotional service. This is the offer of the Lord to all of us. This is the promise of our wonderful sampradaya. It is the prospect, the divine prospect. Let me visit one point before I start. Stop. I'm actually in good time, I can't believe it. And ask for your questions. We talk here of devotional service, not of forced labor. Now, I was very disappointed 1 year, 2 years ago. It's now back in the past. I have an assistant, and the assistant had contemplated to do service in the mission of Prabhupada. And a very young transcendentalist, they were young in realization, told him, oh, what is this brahmachari life? It's unpaid labor. When I heard it, it was like a hot knife in my heart. I'm not a slave driver. This is not in my family tradition. This is ethically objectionable to take labor and not recompensate. And I wanted to say, go back to them and say, by service you get the Lord with his crown and his ornament. This is overly paid. so to say. But obviously the idea here is different of seva. We don't enter seva with the hope of a monetary or golden ornaments which we can sell on the black market, because the real market, everyone would ask, where did you get this crown from? What the life of seva is our eternal life which we enter, my dear devotees. It's the calling of the soul. What will the soul do when it stands before Krishna? Realized Vaishnavas have dealt with this question. The soul, when it wakes up from its swoon of being totally overwhelmed by the fragrance of the Lord, the beauty of the Lord, the atmosphere of the Lord, when it comes out of the overwhelmed situation, we'll think, how can I offer service? It's the calling of the soul. We are Nitya Krishna Das by our very constitution. And by entering service like this, you make advancements which are very, very seizable. But if you enter with, oh no, I'm forced, it's unpaid labor, oh no, everyone has to do it, if I don't do it, I know I don't get maha sweets, because there is a limited supply of maha sweets. And you know, if you enter with a dark mind, a conditioned mind, not a bright mind, the mind of the devotee who looks for seva, then the result is not so good. What will the Lord think when you come? Or what will you think when someone comes to you and says, I have to do something for you. Oh, no, I don't like it. You would say, no need. You may go. The Lord will never send us away like this, even when we come, why did they force me to do this? Why did they tell me the temple commander is a brute? And so on. The Lord, but he will not be pleased. He will not be pleased, the Lord. He will not be satisfied. But if you enter in this mood, this is my opportunity. This is my chance. A conditioned soul, separated for so long, is now entering the life of service. And the Lord chooses those who choose him. Or in his own words in Bhagavad Gita, yeyatamang prapadyante tang stataiva. You can join me. Bhajamyaham mama vart manuvartante. Oh, best amongst the pandits, manusya pata sarvasha. No? In the degree where someone surrenders to me, serves me, I reward them. I give them, what is it? Bhakti. I give them an experience of my sweetness, and I take away their attachments to the world, which makes them kind of immobile in life. Hare Krishna. This is the content of my first seminar. It's about using spiritual intelligence, and then understanding seva for me is a possibility to break the bonds of illusion, the bonds of conditioned nature, and to come into the near to the, come closer to the Lord, who then reacts so beautifully and so wonderfully. Hare Krishna. What do you think, Dhruva? Encourage you. You look at me, and I. Wait a minute. What I begin to think is, since we just talked about this, why don't we make the little meditation now? Because it's fresh in our mind. Do you think that's a good idea? Yeah? Why? I'm trying to move my audience. No, I know it's kind of I see you're with me. Good. I wanted to, in this meditation, I'm taking it from 113, the Buddha Shuddhi meditation. It won't be a meditation where you need to fear that you fall asleep. It will be an active kirtan meditation. Should we do this? Kapil, you're into it. Good. Okay, please, my dear devotees, just to take pump some, just to get some energy into it. I know Abhishek will joke about me, but I don't care. We will just do a simple Ayurvedic exercise. My doctor has given it, which will give you a little energy into our body. Ganeshyam Priya, you might do this in your celebrated videos. This is something that's quite interesting. Fists. And inhale. And with traction in the body, as if you pull yourself up, and exhale. Do you know what is traction? As if you pull yourself on a, what is it called? Bar. Yes. No, boy, like this, and then, yes. You don't have to worry that I look at you. The idea is traction. We want some prana. And synchronicity. Breathe. Very good. And again, slow. With traction. If you sweat, that's desirable. And a lot of traction. Thank you. Now you please place your hand, left hand, if you're a man, on the navel, and right hand on the left hand, if you're a lady, vice versa. The right hand goes on your body, the left hand goes on top. Just breathe. You can deepen your inhale by breathing out a little bit longer. Substantial exhale. Good. And a little more. Oh, your breath is so flat. A little bit more. And again, deep. Some of you will cough as you relax deeper. Cough is absolutely natural, don't worry. You're now ready to begin your Buddha Shuddhi practice. If you like, you can leave your eyes open. If it helps you to focus more, you can gently close the eyes. I will read to you something and please follow with your mind. Like a little calf eagerly follows her mother, the milk cow, follow eagerly these words. I let everything in my life slowly and gently disappear. My relationships. For a moment, I don't think about them. My job. Projects, plans. All that occupies our mind, let this completely slip away. Focus your attention on the in and outgoing breath. Everything else is now no longer relevant. You can imagine yourself in a solitary place. Perhaps at the banks of the river Jamuna or the Ganga or some garden here in England. Place where you feel you are for yourself, because soon you will do a deep prayer for Krishna. I have no memories, no thoughts of my life now, just me and my breath. Absolutely alone, safe. I'm now ready to concentrate on my heart space. Focus on your heart. It is here where I am, the eternal spiritual soul, part of the Supreme, a servant of Radha and Krishna. It is my misfortune that I have been absent from that relationship and instead been wandering the world in the repeated cycle of birth and death. Helplessly I have identified with one material body after another. The last was a person from Gujarat. But now my fortune has turned. I met Srila Prabhupada through his books and his followers. And I have learned from him about my actual identity as a pure spirit. I'm a resident of the spiritual world, the kingdom of love. I'm an individual who is completely separate from the gross and subtle body. I've been inspired to take up the path of eternal loving service to their lordships Radha and Krishna. I will no longer ever be alone. I know that there's only Radha and Krishna. No one else. And I will express myself now. I wrap myself up in this relationship. And I feel bhakti rise in my heart. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Please sing. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. As you chant, the idea is that you express yourself. You address Radha and Krishna. Or if you want to address Gonitai, you address them. But you address them. There's something in your heart that you want to give them. Please, sing from that place. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna,
Krishna,
Hare
Hare, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Everybody please chant again, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. One more time please, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Heya Prabhu Parat, Prabhu Parat, Prabhu Parat, Prabhu Parat. Jaya Radha Gokula Nanda, Radha Gokula Nanda Sri Radhe. Jaya Radha Gokula Nanda, Radha Gokula Nanda Sri Radhe. Jaya Radha Londonishvara, Radha Londonishvara Radhe. Jaya Radha Londonishvara, Radha Londonishvara Radhe. Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bom. So, according to what we learned from Lord Krishna about the supreme intelligence, the supreme cleverness, which is in using that which is temporary, our bodies, we have now just engaged our tongue in the devotional service of chanting, our ear, and actually many of you, I could feel and see, have engaged the mind and or the heart. The mind is seated in the heart and in devotional expression to the Lord. The Lord, on his side, is noticing, and there's a verse in the 16th, in the sixth canto of the Bhagavatam, where the Lord tells us what he felt when Ajamil chanted Narayan at his deathbed. The Lord thought, this person has called my name. He's mine. That's there in the Sanskrit. Pooh, that's the reaction of the Lord. So that's Kamujanaya. It means if already the Lord considers someone who more or less accidentally chants, how much, if the Lord is already so impressed and reciprocal, how much more, the logic of how much more is he impressed by those who do this purposefully. So when you imagine, yes, you may do your service absent-minded. The Lord picks it up. But how much more will he take it when you do it present-minded, when you do it with the desire to please his dear devotee, Srila Prabhupada, and himself? He says this is very, very, very special. You touch the Lord's heart. That is the first part. Oops, I've only 10 minutes over time. That's nothing. So we have in Germany the saying, when you already have made a blunder, then why not make a second blunder? So we will be a little bit more over time. I request you to now turn to your neighbor. Mataji is to the Mataji neighbor, and so on. I request you to do something which is called Anumodan in our tradition. You share what was your insight, and by sharing it and by listening to what another person has seen or felt, you profit. Anumodan, no? So, Hare Krishna. Please start. We have 5 minutes for this only. You have a partner? Who has no partner? We would help you to find one. No. I will go with James. James, I request you to come here. It's a very comfortable sitting arrangement here. We will share on this point with our neighbor. Please start now.
I like it.
Hare Krishna. So, Hare Krishna, I thank you very much. Let me just ask Abhishek, what do we do now, Abhishek? I went over time. You adjust.
Yes.
You tell us. Yes. Yes.
So, thank you. So, I think we'll still stick to schedule because, is that right? Yeah, so we had an hour for break, but we'll just shorten that a little bit to 40 minutes. So the next session will begin at 11:30. But again, if people can be here at 11:25, 5 minutes before, to welcome Maharaj very nicely. And obviously, I've also written a little bit of something for this session, which Maharaj has very nicely given to us. So it's a little poem, but I can't write poems, but whatever. As we serve more and more and look to make progress, we should not look for external novelty nor breadth, but we have those same five core processes given by Mahaprabhu, exploring more and more their depth. We often get confused on how to engage our body for the Lord and sometimes get quite nervous. So here's a tip. Engage your tongues in chanting, your ears in hearing, and your hands and legs in service. Let us develop this mood that everything about our Lord is mothering. It's extremely sweet. Let us offer our body, our heart, our intelligence to the Lord, our very soul at Krishna's lotus feet. We talk here of devotional service, not of aimless, unpaid labor. It's the greatest privilege one can obtain when Krishna grants you his special favor. So it's a small summary of my experience. So just some messages to take away that we can really have these discussions with all the wonderful mentors that we have around us. To really, I think the message that really hit home for me is that there's so many activities we can do on the surface, but we actually really have to start going deeper to really bring that progress in our spiritual lives. So thank you, Maharaj, for beginning, which we're not beginning, we began yesterday, but really starting today with that really strong message. Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna.
And yes, we'll see you all here at 11:25, 11:30. Thank you. Hare Krishna.